Today's daf from Masechet Chulin is daf Samach Gimel. We're at the second line from the top. Omer Rav Yehuda. We're still dealing with Rav Yehuda's marmorim that are mostly centered on birds, or according to Tosafot, entirely centered on birds. Rashi has one discussion of Chagavim in the middle of all of this, but that, as we said yesterday at length, that's a machloket. So Rav Yehuda continues on with some of his identification of which birds are kosher and which birds are not. And remember that the introduction to the whole sugya was being baki behem ubishmotehem. So he's being Isaac now in attempting to categorize the names of the different birds. It would be nice if we were there and he could point to them, as the Gemara will say later on, but he doesn't seem to have a visual hookup here. So the shakitna, we're going to see that there's different types of shakitnas. Shakitnas could be some type of flamingo. So if it has the long leg types and it's red, so then it's kosher. And the way to remember that is that that's also very similar to another bird that is known to be kosher, and that's the murzama. Now, if it's the type that is short-legged, then even the red one is aser. The way to remember that is that it's like the nanas, who is posel aveda, and the list of the movement of the kohanim and the bechorais. So that's how to remember that. Shorty is posel. The one that is long-legged but is yellowish instead of red, that's also aser. The way to remember that is the din that we had before by nichmru me'ah with the bird, where we said over there that if it's yerukin, it's psulin. Obviously, we ended up saying they were dependent on which organs, but we're just using the words over here for the. So people are used to these words. It doesn't really have anything to do with the issue that we had before, of course. Just like we had yofakeach ben mikeach av, which has to do with your ability to collect on a contract and as an heir. It's just simony.
Memory devices,
yeah. Omer Rav Yehuda. The shalach is listed in the Tomei birds. That is the bird that is known, famous for its sholed dagim min hayam. That is a bird that's not the seagull. The seagull takes the fish right off of the surface of the yam. The shalach is a deep diver. Most read it as a cormorant. And that is a heck of a bird, which is also very, very ecologically disturbing because its guano completely wipes out all vegetarian growth. So it's a disaster. I know because we just had a whole discussion in Finland. Everybody in the area wants to kill cormorants because they just, I mean, they're nasty. But there's a law against it. You get a heavy fine because they were dreaming about how they were going to sneak on to. There's these islands where cormorants have completely taken over because nothing else grows. It's about, looks like a desert. So anyway, this is the sholed dagim min hayam. What is the duchipat? The duchipat, that is the one that has that beautiful crest that seems to be stuck along its entire head. You see them every once in a while. Here, the hoopos, I think they go. You see them here. I've seen them in Ghana, Tikuman. Stunning. They look a little like woodpeckers, but they don't peck. And that is the bird that is called Al Shem, its beautiful crest. So Hodo, its beautiful, its beauty, its kafut, is stuck right up there on its head, and it can bend down the crest or lift it up. Taninamiyachi, duchipat, is because it's kafut, its hodo is kafut. And that bird is zehu shehevi shamir lebeit hamikdash. That is the reason that it's the targum of it is the nagartura. The nagartura is the bird that can cut right through the mountain, but that's because he uses the shamir, and that was the whole story with Shlomo, who wanted to have the shamir and ended up fooling this poor bird. The story of Benayahu, he sent him out there and caused it to commit suicide in the end, as it was committed taking care of the Shamir. Rabbi Yochanan.
This is the national bird,
what, of Israel?
Yeah.
Oh, I think, yes, I think he's right. Last year, 2 years ago, just recently, yes, that's right. Was chosen as Israel's national bird, the Duchipat. I guess, since it goes to the base of it, must be.
That's it.
You've got a nice picture. Okay, I'm gonna have hoopoe. Yeah, the hoopoe, exactly. I'm gonna have to borrow that. And thank you. Okay, thank you. Reb Yochanan Kavichazi Shalach. When Reb Yochanan would see a cormorant, he would read the Pasuk Mishpatecha to Hom Rabbah, because this poor fish is going resting down at the bottom and the depths, thinking everything's fine, and suddenly comes this guided missile, and boom, there goes the fish. Ay vey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shlich him to take over this piece of life, for that patrol goes all the way into the depths. Another Pshat Rashi brings later, Mishpatech Dom Rabbah, that the poor bird has to go all the way to the bottom of the sea to get itself a meal. That's tough. Rabbah, when he would see an ant, Kavichazi Nimalah, boy, he must have been busy. Omar Chitkatcha Kahareyel, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzedakah, making life easy for the ant to always get its parnassah, is the Tzedakah Kahareyel. Omar Ameima, the Lakni and the Batni are kosher birds, and the Shaknai and the Batnai, well, that's not so clear. Mokam Shenogu Lechol Lachlin, if it's a place where the meaning was to eat that kind of bird, the Shaknai and the Batnai, so then you can eat it. But if it's a Makam Shenogu Shalolecho, ain't awfully. What does it have to do with that? What do you mean, minag? What does it have to do with a minag? Either you know it's kosher, you don't know it's kosher. Ought to be minag. Italian milta. What does it have to do with a minag? Yes, it does. Because lo kasha, ha da a ba'ato de shchicha peres vaznia, va ba'ato de lo shchichi peres vaznia. So Rashi learns that where it's shchiyach, so then we're chayish that there are types of peres vaznia, which does point out that doesn't make any sense. I mean, if we're chayish that, then we have to be chayish that all over. We can't say only in one place we're chayish. Therefore, the pshat is Tosfos, that they were geyser in places where the peres vaznia was shchiach. So then we were afraid that people will get them confused with the peres vaznia. Mashen Kain in other places we didn't have a basis for such a gezeira. So there we were martyred. This, by the way, is part of, I told you we would amplify on the union of the Mesera that we were talking about yesterday. So we mentioned that the question of whether you're allowed to eat on the basis of other Mesorot. So again, the Rosh says that not to trust the Mesera of the Sfardim, the Mesera of the Temanim, only the Mesera of Ashkenaz and Sarfat. And then, besides that, there's also a difference between places where they're knowing not to eat something and places where they just don't know. The knowing not to eat, so one of the Sfaras that the other Rishonim bring from this Sugya, is that here we're calling it Biminhagataya Milta. And we say, after the Shchicha Peres Vaznia, they can't eat. Not because they don't have a Mesoret, but because Bedavka, their Mesoret is, their Minig is, not to eat it. So you cannot assume, say these Rishayim, that because other people have a Mesoret to eat, that therefore, even if it's a reliable Mesoret that you can eat, because maybe in your Makam, there was a reason specifically not to eat, in which case that became your minhag. Then you cannot change that because of the misera that other people have. So we have to distinguish between, well, I don't know, we just have never dealt with that, it wasn't around our place, or that's not the kind of thing that we ate, but after, even though it was.
But that means it has to be available.
Yeah, of course. Obviously. I mean, it's available. Omer Abaye, the kui and the kakui are osir, but the kakuuta is mutter. Although in Eretz Yisrael, they were so certain that that was osir that they were actually loike people who would eat that, malkui lui, and they said that the name they have for that is the tachvata, and the tachvata is tame. Tana Rabbana, we have an interesting phenomenon in that the same name of an organism shows up in the list of the ofot that are tameot. This is back in Vayikra, it says Hatin Shamet, Vetaka'a, Vetaracham. And we find exactly the same word in the list of the Shemona Shratzim, which is really weird. I mean, what is it? Is it a sheretz or is it a bird? So the Braita actually deals with both of them separately. So Tana Rabbana, in the pasuk that says vetatinshemet vetakat vetaracham, that tinshemet is a reference to the baot shebaofot. That is the baot. The Mefarshim say baot means blech. Blech. It's a real turn off bird. Blechy. Baot is something that is a big turn off. So Rashi learns that the ba'ut Rashi brings over here is a reference to an owl. This is a bird that calls out at night. But elsewhere, where Rashi would say a little later, that the ba'ut is a bat, which is ba'ut. The problem is that if it's a bat, then it doesn't have any of the simonim of the Ofot at all. I mean, you can't say it doesn't have a Zephik, it doesn't have a Kurkava, it doesn't have such thing. And we would be calling it one of the Ofot Tmeim. The problem is that was only the Nesher, according to Rashi. It doesn't have all four Simonim. You think it doesn't have all four Simonim? Maybe it's a fruit bat? So then that, at least it's not Doris. Totally in that whole Machlokas Rashi tells you that one of the Simonim, or all the three Simonim arise, it's not those. But in any event, it's not so push to identify it with a mammal. Again, as we mentioned yesterday, the word oaf in Hebrew means a flying organism. It has nothing to do with the English word bird. It's just a coincidence. Some ofot are birds. Other ofot are bees. Bees and birds are both ofot. The bee is a sheretz ofot, and the bird could be a kosher bird. So there's crawling flying objects, and there's big flying objects. Look about it. And it tells us yesterday, something is true of the other hagdorot. There is no word for fish in Hebrew. English word fish does not have a Hebrew equivalent. We don't have fish. We have water organisms, which include mammals that live in the water, fish that live in the water, insects that live in the water. So the entire taxonomy is completely different. The word taxonomy, completely different. It just refers to different hagadaras. It refers to the environment rather than to the structure of the organism. So anyway, the Tinchamet is the Baal Chabaofot. So here, I mean, the interrelationship would be in the Shmona Shrotzin to a bat-looking kind of sheretz, which would be a land animal. So that land animal, Rashi says, is a mole. He talks about the, which is pretty ugly looking. Sort of this blind mole. Yeah, like a mole with wings, basically. So both of the ba'ot. So both of them go to Tinchamet. So the Ba'ot Sheba'ofot says the Braita, you say it's the Ba'ot Sheba'ofot. Because this Braita is coming to clarify how to read that pasuk. Because the Tinchamet clearly refers to two different things, right? So how do you know that the Tinchamet in the list that continues on to say Vetaka'at Vetaracham is a reference to a bat? Maybe it's a reference to a mole? So maybe it's the Ba'ot Shebishratzim. Ah! So this is because of the famous midah. Tzeil amad b'yudgim amidot shatorah nidreshet b'yam. One of the yudgim amidot is davar halamad b'inyano. That the context is always definitive for meaning. Okay, what is the rest of this list about? I mean, there's 20 different things that are listed here. What is that list about? Birds. Nobody doubts that all these other things are birds. Therefore, this pasuk is also a pasuk about birds, and the tinchamet here must be a type of bird. Afkan ba'ofot. Now, the same exact braita, obviously with the appropriate changes, appears in the list of Shmona Shratzim. Tanya Nami Gabi Shratzim Kahai Gavna. Because over there, when you say Veta Tinchamet, so there we say this Tinchamet is Ba'ot Shebishratzim. It's a reference to a mole or a rat, whatever, however we learn it. So Ata Omer Ba'ot Shebishratzim. How do you know it's not referring to a bat? To an owl, according to Rashi, the one that he was first not suggesting, but that he had learned. Amrit, no, there too the Braita clarifies. How could it be referring to a bat? If Tzeil Amad Mishyud Gim Amidot Shatoran Nidreshet Ben Davar Alamad Minyano? Okay, what are the other seven things mentioned in this list? They're all talking about Shratzim. So you think in the middle of Shratzim it lists a bat? Must be that it's talking about Shratzim, so these are all Shratzei of the earth. Okay, again, in terms of English, it's really weird to consider such a thing. But in Hebrew, it's simply a question of maybe that's how to taxonomically define it, the Tinchamet. So we don't necessarily care very much whether it's a flying object or a crawling object. If anyway, it would be, we would call flying objects Shratzim in terms of Sheretz Hov. All right, so therefore, we need the Yud Gimel Midrash Hatorah Nidreshet. Omer Abaye, the Ba'ot Sheba'ofot, that is the Kifuth and the again, Rashi is suggesting that it makes more sense to say that it's a bat rather than here, he says, rather than an owl, the way that I originally learned, because they're very similar. So the Baal Shebofot is the Kifuv, and the Baal Shebishratzim is the Kurfadai. Omri of Yudah, the Ke'at that's mentioned in the Pasuk is actually known to us as the Kuk. And the Racham is what we know as the Shrak-Rak. And that's because it makes this shrieking shrak, shrieking noise. And Omri of Yochanan, why would we call the Shrak-Rak in the Torah? Why refer to it as a Racham? This is in the same Pasuk as the Tinshemet. We're listing. What is the Tinshemet? What is the Ka'an? What is the Racham? Once we started talking about the Tinshemet. So why would the Torah call a Shrak-Rak a Racham? Because Kivan Sheba Racham, Bo'u Rachamim La'olam. If the Racham shows, it's always a sign of coming rain. And rain is an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachamim. Therefore, it's called a Racham in the Torah. Omer Abibi Barabai V'diyati V'amini. It's not just its presence that indicates rain. It's where it's sitting on something and it's making its sound. Shrak rock, shrak rock. So it's obviously proclaiming the onset of something. And we have a Kabbalah that if a shrak rock would ever get down on the ground and stand on a soapbox instead of, well, and would be saying shrak rock, then it's a raya that the ultimate rachamim is coming and Mashiach is on his way. And that's Merumas in the Pasuk where it says, Eshrika lahem, I will whistle to them, their kapseim, I'm bringing them from all over the earth, my children. So that's a reference to the Shrak Rak. I mean, that's weird because there was this famous case of a Shrak Rak that was sitting in the middle of a cabbage patch and was going around shraking, and all of a sudden a stone fell from the sky and cracked its head open. Not a very nice thing to do to a bird that's announcing Mashiach, by the way, who never came. And Afsike Lamoche. Oh my, that's because he was a big liar. Who by the Hav? You see, Mashiach never came. He deserved to get a stone on his head. Turn around. Orev, the Orev, ze Orev. Now, the Gemara's going to say, what do you mean? The Orev, that's the Orev. I mean, yeah, I mean, are we looking at it that he's pointing? He's saying, ze Orev. And again, you know, if we had our visual hookup, it would be great. But et kol, and then we said, the addition over here, the et kol ha'orev, when we add now all types, kol orev, that brings the orev ha'amaki, that's the deeper orev, and we'll see what that really means, surprisingly, is the whiter streaked orev, which is called deeper because it makes the black, that's the contrast between the black and the white, Gemara Chama Mukam and Atzel, the way by Negoim. But it doesn't mean what it sounds like, the valley Orev. It means actually the deeper Orev. Limino. Well, we saw before some of the Liminos, which was the Machlokas, two Machlokas, and that we had about the Zarzir and the Shnunis Levana. Maybe this is the Rabbanan, or as Taisa said before, we don't mean it's the only Limino. The Limino includes a lot of different birds. And this Limino is Lahavi Orev Ababaroshe Yonim, which sounds like it's saying the Orev that flies in front of the Yonim. And that would be the leftist, that they pretend to be the Jewish. And they get everybody flying after them. But that isn't really what it means. What it ends up meaning is its head is shaped like a Yonah. Or Mamar. Let me understand that. You say, Orev is an Orev. What is that supposed to mean? Oh, to come on, what are you sitting in front of us that you're pointing to the Orev and you're saying, the Orev, this is the Orev. I mean, that's what sounds like you're saying. But we don't have any visual chips in our Gemara here. Ela, so that should be changed. Orev is the Orev Uchma. What it means is, that's like what everybody calls the crow. You know, that black Orev. So that's the way the Orev is famous for being black, like the curls of the Yaakov of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, black, deep black curls. Then when we say the Orev HaAmaki, what's that? The Amaki, believe it or not, is the white street Orev, the Chivra. Just like it says, that if you have mar'eo amok min ha'or, mar'eo amok min ha'or means that it's not really amok min ha'or, but it's kemar chamah amukah min ha'tzel. When you see contrasts of splashes of light, and there's areas that are in the shade, the light areas appear to be deeper than the dark areas, which seem to be all on the surface. They don't have any depth. So that's why we call it hamaki, because the white makes the dark look, the white's presence makes the amuka min ha'tzel because of the dark. Therefore, we're calling it hamaki. Then we have the oreva baberosh yonim omer of puppet. I don't take that literally. Lo tema da ati beresh yonim. That doesn't mean that it leads the flock of the yonim. It means haba that presents itself with a yona head. The domi resh lid yona. So that its head is similar to the yona's head. Of course, we understand the ramazim here of the, you know, right?
No, the
differences between the Umayyads and Yisrael. He's always talking about Yaina. The head, obviously, is the Orev is always our problem. That's Arav Ivri versus Aravi, or the Irvuvia Shabab Irvuvia, or Vecheshek Mishtamshim Irvuvia. These all of these issues over here about the Chivra and the Orev. The Orev and the Yonah, yeah, that was a very primal moment. Yet the Orev is used for Eliyahu, but that's Bibetavka the Achav that we had before. There's a lot of sugyas that involve the Orev and the Yonah contrast in terms of Yisrael and Yumasayim. Omer Rav Yehuda. Oh, sorry, I skipped. Tana Rabbon. Hanetz ze hanetz. Now, Lamaisa, Tosis points out, I mean, why doesn't the Gemara doesn't ask over here, are you holding a Nates? Yeah, it just does, because that's different. When you say Zehanates, it means the thing that people call a Nates is indeed what the Torah is referring to by the Nates. But that's because there weren't other things that were called Nates. But when it comes to the Orev of the other types, the Orev Hamaki and so on, those were also called Orev Stam. So if you're going to come to identify which it is, you'd have to be in front of it. And you'd have to point to Ze Orev. But over here, it's simply confirming that a Nates is indeed a Nates. Liminehu includes the Barchiria. And there, the extension is to the bird that is similar to the Nates. And what is that? My Barchiria. The Barchiria is the Shurinka. Omer of Yehuda, the Chasida is actually a Daya Levana. Now, why is it called a Chasida? It's called a Chasida she'osa Chasidut im Chavroteha, because it shares its food with its friends. And it's famous Chasidish word. But everyone, so then why isn't it kosher for such a kind bird? Because it only shares with its friends.
Just its friends.
I skipped again. I'm telling you. The anafa is the daya, and it's a special type of daya. It's a daya ragzanit. It's the bird that is always seems to be angry. And that's the, they identify it with the solitary, what they call the heron, a solitary bird. The blue heron is a solitary, is the solitary blue. It's the name of a beautiful book by Cynthia. So the solitary bird is because it's always angry with other birds. So it sticks away, it stays away even from its own kind. So that's the Lamanik or Shema Anafa, the correct Yer Savir Shema Anefet im Chafotah, gets angry even with its friends, and therefore it's always alone.
So a Daya? What's a Daya?
Who knows? But we're going to get
it's
to
not
the.
Like something
we're going to get to it. No, I mean everybody identifies it with the hawk.
And a chasidah, is that what we call a spell?
What did you think? I don't know. Tell me. I'm happy to learn.
I didn't fully intend the toast, but it was saying osprey and eagle, the friend.
Yeah, but who knows? I mean, the eagle that we call eagle is not necessarily that eagle either. It's a whole big discussion. Because the Nesher, none of the things that we call eagle have none of the four simonim.
None of them?
No. Even the thing that they, that,
that's,
I mean,
the
that
best
Rashi brings over here, which is the bald, which people say is the bald eagle, is also not true, because the bald eagle also has an etz by Yisera. So something's very, very
so
funny.
Vulture,
so that could be. Could be. There are types of vultures. I mean, that's what most all of the type of eagles. It could be that maybe the Nazis are what we call the eagles. Listen, if we had a wonderful ornithologist that would be with us with hundreds of pictures of birds, it would be the greatest pleasure. Maybe. If I trusted them, I would definitely come. He says, if I knew that they knew what they were talking about, I would, with great pleasure, I would go. I've driven by that museum. The whole thing looked a little funny to me. So I would be reluctant to go in. I like to know that we're dealing with something real.
I was told that the Nesher called it no better, no chair.
But that's true on the no, apparently bald is on the top.
It says
Kereach. Yeah, Kereach specifically.
What does Uncle Art say? Just on the Nates, it's called the Sparrowhawk.
The Sparrowhawk. Okay.
In the Quran, condition you don't know that the highest flying bird of the Nates is the same and takes its visions of
Yeah, remember that the word may refer to a wide class, as Tosfos says. The Nesher, Rashi says. Rashi says the Nesher could be, all these other birds. Also, Tosfos is a model for other species. And according to Rashi, that it means all these birds without Arba Simanim are types of Nesher. Obviously, Nesher is a pretty broad kind of way of referring to a class.
But it can't be an eagle if it has...
Can't be specific. The one we're talking about over here can't be an eagle because it has an etzvayeter. Both etzvayeter it has. There's the one in the back.
Oh.
And it has the large toe in the front.
Wow.
Yeah. So, there's no way around that one. So does the bald eagle. Anyway, so Rav Chanan bar Rav Chisda quotes Rav Chisda, who quotes Rav Chanan Barei de Rava as saying that Rav said that there's 24 ofot to me. So Rav Chanan bar Rav Chisda said to Rav Chisda, but how could he say it? It's not quoting that he said it, but if you take a look in Vayikra, there's only 20 that are listed in Vayikra. If you take a look in this week's parasha, in Re'eh, in Mishneh Torah, there's only 21. But, you certainly can't get... Where do you get 24? And if you're going to tell me, but look, in Vayikra, it mentions the Da'a. And it doesn't mention the Da'a in Re'eh, okay? So that's Lo Ktiva Mishneh Torah. In Dvarim, we don't find the Da'a. Fine. Add that, okay? So Shad Yaleh. Even if you would say that, it still only equals 21. Where do you get 24? Akati Yasin Vitrinav. Omar Lay, so he told him, listen, the way that your Hachi Omar Avu Adimach, your grandpappy, your mother's father, this is Reb Chanan bar Rabba, who was the father of Rav Chisda. So he's telling him, we quoted him, he's your grandpappy. So he's quoted Rav as explaining his own ma'amar, that where we find in the Pasuk, Limina, and Limina, and Limino, and Liminehu. So there are four cases where the Torah adds the Limina, because it says Ha'anafa Limina, and we also have the Limino of the Ore, we have Liminehu of the Nates. So put that together, and you add another four. Wait a minute, so then you have 26. And now I'm really confused. If there's four additional, and we got up to claiming here that we've got the differences, we have to throw in a da'a, we got up to 22. If you're going to now tell me add four, so then you end up with 26. That doesn't help us, right? Rabbi, it does. We don't add the da'a. The da'a is a variation of the word ra'a. It's the same bird that appears in Dvarim, except the Dvarim bird is called a Ra'a, and in Vayikra it's called a Da'a. And I'll prove it to you.
Same bird, two different names.
It's the same bird with two names, because the Isag Daitach Tarte'ina. If you hold that the Da'a is a different bird, how do you account for the fact that it would have been left out of Dvarim? I mean, after all, Michte, Mishneh Torah la Sufi Udiyat. I mean, the whole point of Mishneh Torah is that it's expanding your understanding. It's not meant to pick and choose issues. So if it's expanding, so how come it says Maishnacha dechtiv da'a, Maishnacha dechtiv ra'a, velo chtiv da'a? I mean, why would it leave out the da'a? Elishma mina, it's gotta be that the min ra'ah or da'ah is one thing. Achati. Okay, fine, so take off one, but you still have 25. We started off with a list which we were all agreed was 21. Now you're adding let me know. No. So now you have 25. Amar Abaya, well, it's not only the ra'ah and the da'ah that's repetitious, it's the ayah and the da'ah that is also repetitious. Now, both ayah and da'ah are written in Devarim. But, as we'll see later on, the reason that the Torah refers to ayah with da'ah both is because we're afraid that people, as we said before, the taxonomy includes the names. So that people that have given a different name to this species will say, even though it looks like it has these simonim, but this is not what is known as the dayah. This is called an ayah. And because of that, the Torah wants to make it clear that this is exactly the same thing, even though you may give it a different name. And that this is the naming issue is very important because by Chagav, for instance, you can have all the simonim, but it has to have the name Chagav in order to be able to eat it. That's one of the problems of the Teimanim, where you're going to be accept that this is what they ate, but the problem is they don't have Zeshmo Chagav. So therefore, I mean, a lot of the poskim say even if you don't hold of the Shuvas Arosh, the Beis Yosef, we'll get to it. I'm just pointing out to you that the nomenclature is an important point of the identification of the bird.
And at the time of Matar, there was no other bird religion, just
by the Ayah. Well, let's see when we get to the end of this daf. Okay, so now it says Abaya. Look, and I'll prove it to you because the Isaac Daitach Tarti. Let's assume that we have two birds, the ayah and the dayah. And you'll say, okay, so the reason that we added it over here is because of Mishnah Torah we're adding, right? No, not right. Because Isak Daitach Tarte, you know, if these are two different species, so then you've got a problem because now you left out something. What did you leave out? Mishnah Torah is coming to be Mosif, right? That we're agreed. So then why is it that it says ve'et ha'ayah lemina? Okay. In Vayikra we have ha'ayah. Here it says ha'ayah ve'hadayah lemina. So why is it in Vayikra it says the word lemina referring to an ayah? If the ayah and ayah are two different meaning, then the lemina of the ayah is an expansion of ayah that is inexplicably left out of Devarim. To say, okay, but we added two new species. The dayah and its min. So then why would you have left out the min of the ayah? I'd explain that. Huh? So obviously, shmamina, that the ayah and the dayah is one bird, because otherwise you're ending up with leaving out lemina in Devarim. So you can ask then, so then why write both? Ah, that's Kiritanya, Rebbe Omer. Ekra ani ayah. Look, if I just had the ayah, what do I need to know the dayah? So dayah lama nemra. So clearly it's Kadesh Shalot Tetein Pitron Peh Lebal Din Lachalok. Someone will come along and say, well, in our parts we don't call this an ayah. We call this a dayah. So Shalot Heatakore ayah, Vuhukore dayah. Ratakore dayah, Vuhukore ayah. Look, ah. Katav Mishnah Torah ve hara'a ve et ha'ayah ve hadayah lemina, to clarify that it's all one thing. Now the question that Tosfos asks is, why is it that in the previous case of the ra'a and the da'a we split it between Vayikra and Devarim, and over here that way it would seem to be efficient, because instead of repeating the same one, you change the name. We put in a raise instead of a dollar. Yeah, so it looks like a misspelling. That now identifies it in your mind without having repeated any words as an extension of the same bird. So we could have done the same thing over here. Instead, we put both ayah and dayah and then clarified it with lemina. I mean, so how come over here we put them both here? So the truth is, says Tosfos, that the preferred approach would have been to write the entire list with all its variants in Mishnah Torah, which is coming to be Mosif. Mosif means Mosif Hesber, too. So here's where we would want to be Mosif Hesber, but we can't. because we would have no way of identifying it as the same bird. Because it's only by the ayah, the dayah, where we have this trick of using lenina in a different way, then we can identify it. You see, it's got to be, it's a different bird. But here, there is a lenina. So how are we going to know that the ra'an and the da'ah are the same bird? We'd make the mistake of thinking it's a different bird. In the male, we have no choice but to vary it between vayikra and dvarim. Very cute. Anyway, so therefore, we have now this extension. Meitvei, what do you do with the braita that says, why did we need the list in Re'eh at all? We already had back in Vayikra the list of all of the behemoth mayas and the eifest man. What's the point of saying it over again? Lama nishnu, I'll tell you. When it came to the behemot, in our parsha this week at Dvarim, in Re'eh, we had the shesu'ah, but we never heard of a shesu'ah before. So clearly it's adding the Shesu'ah. Now, we know that the Parsha, Ko-Parsha, Shenemra, V'nishneit, as Rabbi Shmuel says, Lo Nishneit, Ela, the Davar HaKadashba. So this is the Shesu'ah. So remember, we listed the other dinim of Behemot. In the Ofot, we needed to list the Ra'ah. Uh-oh. Well, I mean, if Behemah means that we added the Shesu'ah, then that would imply that we're adding the ra'ah. But you claimed that the ra'ah is only a variant pronunciation of the da'ah. So apparently you're wrong. Here it says lama nishnu in ofot because of the ra'ah, which I assume contextually, I mean, my lab, midibay ma'da'atam le'usufe, if you're telling me that we're adding the shesu'ah, so then when must mean that we're adding the ra'ah. Because Mishnah Torah is Lusufe. No. Lusufe doesn't necessarily mean, as we saw, doesn't mean adding. It means adding understanding. You can add understanding by adding the list. You can add understanding by clarifying the list. So by the Beimot, it's indeed to add the Shestua. But by the Ofot, it's to be Mifarish, that the Ra'ah and the Dayah are one thing. And Achala Firusha. Now, Lamaisa, this list, ends up being Polig Ad Rabbi Abohu, because we're going to see at the end of this discussion that he does not have 24 kosher birds. So when we quoted Rav over here, non-kosher birds, he has only 23, as we're going to end up being forced to understand. And therefore, when you said there's 24, you should know Rabbi Abohu doesn't agree. So let us learn Rabbi Abohu and take as our starting assumption that he agrees that there are 24 kosher birds. Non-kosher birds. And then, see, at the end of the Sugya, Gemara is going to ask that. Gemara makes the same mistake, so it's not so bad. We saw it's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. We'll get to that again. Okay, so let's assume now for a moment that he agrees with Rav. Okay, and we're going to end up with an impossibility, as we'll see. The Omer Rabbi Abu, the Ra'ah is actually the Ayah. So why is it called a Ra'ah? As our president said, it's a bird that has an immense vision, visual acuity. Shiru'ah biyoter. It can see very, very far. V'cheinu Omer, we find indeed, in Iyov, nativ lo yada'o ayat, ayit velosha zafatu in ayah, that even the ayah from above cannot spot this particular path. Okay? If that's the case, we've got a problem, as we'll see. But, you know, the Braita says this thing is such acute vision that you can have a ra'ah flying in Bavel and see a corpse in an avela in Eretz Yisrael. It's obviously a type of carrion eater. Now, if a ra'ah is an ayah, according to him, so then that must mean that the da'ah is not the ra'ah. We said before that the ra'ah and the da'ah is the same thing. It's called a da'ah in Vayikra, and it's called a ra'ah in Dvarim. But according to Rabbi Abohu, that doesn't work out, because he's saying that, no, It's actually the Ra'ah is the Ayah, not the Da'ah is the Ayah.
Just because you won't have 24.
No, yeah, we're assuming this. We're going to end up, of course, seeing that it's not going to work. Because, look, Mishneh Torah is La Sufi. So now we have the problem that Abaye used before to prove. So Abaye pointed out, but Mishneh Torah always adds, right? So why is it that in Vayikra it says the Da'ah and it doesn't say the Da'ah in Dvarim? It only says the Ra'ah. So we understood that because the Ra'ah and the Da'ah are one thing. But according to Rabbi Abo, the Ayah is the Da'ah. So therefore we're forced to say that the Da'ah is in fact a Ra'ah, even according to Rabbi Abo. It's just that it's also an Ayah. But if a Ra'ah is an Ayah, we said the Ayah and the Da'ah is one thing. So then the Ayah must not be a Da'ah if we're going to try to keep 24. But then we have Rabbi's other problem. If an Ayah is not a Da'ah, so then we have the problem of why does it say Leminehu and Vayikra on Ayah, and it's missing over here. I mean, even though it adds it to the Da'ah, but why are we leaving out the Leminehu of the Ayah and Dvarim, which we said was the Raya that they have to be one. But according to Rabbi Abo, they're not. Can't be one. Because if they are one, there's only 23, and we're assuming that there's 24. Uh-oh, must be that indeed there's only 23. And that the Da'ah and the Ra'ah and the Da'ah and the Ayah, according to Rabbi Avo, are all one species of birds. Achati. Tanya Isi ben Yehuda Omer. Look, we know of 100 different birds that we've identified, different species, in the East. And all of them are types of Ayah. So don't get too cal in your orientation about these birds. It is 24 birds. We have identified 100 types of Ayahs. You know, and as Rashi says, and all the other birds that are missing, all four Simanim, those are all types of Neshers. So there may be thousands, thousands of non-kosher birds. Tani Avimi Berede Rebbe Abo. Look, we have a Kabbalah. There are 700 different types of fish, 800 different types of chagavim, and all of these now are all fish that are tameim, or Ulofot ein mispar, and there's innumerable ofot tmeim. What? I thought all along we were saying that there were only 24 ofot tmeim. Sorry, I meant ofot torim. Ulofot torim ein mispar. There's innumerable kosher birds, but there's only 24 now. Again, 24, but we just identified 100. So 24 models, or 24 species, including all their massive lists of subspecies. So the Ayah with that's the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Are they named that, or are they models of that in terms of their particular structures? Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Galui v'Yadua Lefnei Mi Shamar V'Hayah Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world knows that the Behemot Tmeot are Meruba Min HaTorot. Therefore, the Torah listed all the behemot that are Torah, because it's a short list. That on the other hand, when it comes to birds, the ofot tahorin are merubin ala tmeim. Therefore, the Torah listed the tmeim. Again, according to Tosis before, this does not mean the actual species. It means the species needed to create the model. So that we have all the exceptions plus the models that are given. So, and what is Rebbe pointing out? My Kamash Malan. Rebbe is pointing out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is efficient, and that's the way you're supposed to teach Torah. Kerevuna Amarav, Varmelom Ravuna Amarav, Mishum Rebbe Meir, Lo'olam Yishane Adam Latalmido, Derech Kitzara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us Derech Kitzara. Every Rav should teach his Talmud Derech Kitzara. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Of Tahor Ne'echal B'Masoret. You can eat an Of Tahor B'Masoret if you know somebody who eats this. and he is an Adam Crusher. So then it's Eidech Hanema Bisurin, that he was Mekabel, that this is an Otar. Even if you yourself don't check it out, you don't know that it's Gurkavan, Niklav, Zephyr, so on and so forth, it doesn't matter. And a matter of fact, a bird trapper is Ne'eman Atzayad Lomar, Of Zetor Masarli Rabbi. My Rebbe told me that this particular bird is kosher. Om Rebbe Yochanan, this particular bird means he knows the name of the bird, not just he says this is the bird. V'hushabaki b'hem u'bishmotehem, as we said before. Boy, Rebbe Zer, but what do you mean when a trapper says, my teacher? Is that his teacher the ornithologist, or is it his teacher the Rosh Hashiva? So which one is that? Boy, Rebbe Zer, Rabo Chacham or Rabo Tzayat? Well, Tashma, if Rabbi Yochanan said you have to be a Boki in the taxonomy and the names, I mean, how is it going to be a Rosh Hashiva? What's Rosh Hashiva know about birds? I mean, so it's got to mean, I mean, yeah, Bishlam Rabo Tzayad. You're going to tell me he's an ornithologist. Okay, that makes sense. He should be Boki Behem and Bishmotehem. But if you're going to tell me it means Rabo Chacham, I mean, he may have been taught a list of names that he's memorized, but he don't know what it's all about. How can he identify them? As Bishlema, you could say Shemayu. Gormelo, so maybe memorize the names. But how's he going to know the taxonomy? Inumi Adalu. So obviously, he's got to be talking about a professional. Ela Lav Rabot Sayad, Shema Mina. Omar Rav Yehuda, Shakitna Arichi Shaki Vesumke Sharia. Simanecha Murzima. Gutzi Visumki Asiri Visimanecha Nanas Posum. The Arihe Shaki, which is also Yoruki is Asiri, Visimanecha Yoruki Psumi. Omre Vyoda Shalach Zashaladogi Minayan. The Duchifat Shahodo Chafut. Tanya Miyahi Duchifat Shahodo Chafut. Vizel Shavi Shamir Labeta Migdash the Nagar Tura or the Tarnigo Bura. Rabbi Yochanan, Karabi Chazi, Shalach Amar, Mishpatecha Tahom Rabbah, Kabi Chazi Nimala Amar, Sitkatcha, Keharei El. Omra Mima, Lakni Ubatni Sharyan, Shaknai Ubatdai, it depends. Mokum Shinogala Cholokli, Mokum Shinogala Chol, Enochli, Matubim Menogata Yamilta, E, Velokasha. How about the Shrikh Peres Vazniya? According to Rashi, maybe. There it is a type of peres vazniya. According to Tosis, they were geyser because of peres vazniya. V'abantu lo shkicha peres vazniya. Om Rabbeya, the kui and the kakui are asiri. The kuka'ata is sharia. By the way, the strange names of birds are all almost representative of their noises. You know, so that's why we have these crazy, we have these crazy words here. B'ma'arava, they hold that it's asir. And they're Malke Alui, Vikarle Tachvata. Tan Rabbanan, the Tinshamet is the Baal Sheba Ofot. Atomer Baal Sheba Ofot, maybe it's the Baal Sheba Shatzim. Amrit Seilamad, Biyud Gimamidot, Shatara Nidreshet Behem. What's the rest of this all about? Tavar Lamed Minyano. Sibamaka to Medaber. Bofot, which case Afkan, Bofot, Taninami Gabi Shatzim, Kai Gavna. Tinshamet in the list of the Shimonah Shatzim is a reference to the Baal Sheba Shatzim. Atomer Baucher Beshratzim, O Eina Ella Baucher Bofot, Amrit Zilamad, you'd give me dot, Shatora Nidreshit Behem, Dovar Alamad, Minyano, okay, what are the other things listed here by Maakatubin Aber Beshratzim? Afkan Beshratzim, Omer Abaye, the Baucher Bofot is the Kifuf, and the Baucher Beshratzim is the Korpadai, Omer Abyude Ka'at is the Kuk, the Racham is the Shrakrak. Om Rav Yochanan, Lama Nikra Shvo Racham, because Kimu Shabar Racham, Bo Rachamim Liyolam. Om Rabbi Bibarabaya, it's only going to rain if the Racham is Yativ Amiri, and it's going Shrak Rak. Vigamiri, the Yativ Ara Vashorek Ata Beshicha, Shinema Shorek Kalahem Vakapzim. Om Lervada Bashimin Amar Bar Rabbi Doi, what about that Shrak Rak that was in the middle of a cabbage patch and was Shorak Vata Galalavskin Amuchet? a big fat liar. It's got what he deserved. Ahu baidav. Tana Rabbanan. Orev ze orev. It's kol orev, that is to include the orev ha'amaki. Let me know that's korin. Kol ol the orev abab roshani. Omamar. Orev ze orev. What is it supposed to mean? And what are you pointing to it, Dr. Kamoy? Come on, koi. That we're able to point to something. Elaima orev is the orev uchma. What everybody calls black as a crow, v'chino omer kvutzatav, or the raven, kvutzatav tal talim shechorot ke orev. Then the orev amaki is actually the chivra. V'chino omer eo amok min haor, kemarech amon muka min atzel. Orev abab rosh hanim, says Rapapa, doesn't mean latema da'ati b'resh yune in a flock. It means it presents a resha that is dami l'di yune. Turn around, banana, nates, zehanates. Lemineu laviet barchiria. What's a barchiria? Rabbi, it's a shurinka. Rabbi, a chasida is a dialavana. Why do we call it a chasida? Because ose chasidut im chavotea. The anafa is the dayarag zanit. Lama nikrashma anafa. Shiv anefet im chavotea. Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista, Rav Chista, Rav Chanan bar Rav Amarav. Esring the arba al foot meime. Omle Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista, Rav Chista. Where do we get it from? I don't understand. If Vayikra, there's only Esrim Habit. In Mishneh Torah, there's Esrim Vachad. And even if you tell me, Vachitema, that the Da'a that appears in Vayikra and doesn't appear in Mishneh Torah should be added to the list, Akati Esrim Train Habit. But where do you get 24? This is what your grandpappy said that we're quoting over here, is quoting Rav. The Hezber, that the Lemina, the Anafa, and the Aya, Lemina, and the Orev, Lemino, and the Netzes, Leminehu, are four additional species. Arekan Arba? So then we have 26. Omar Abaye, no, we don't have 26. The Ra'a and the Da'a is actually the same bird. The Isaac Adaitach Tartein, do you understand how it's possible? I mean, Mishneh Torah is always Usufe Udiata. So why in the world would we mention a Da'a in Vayikra and mention not a Da'a, but just coincidentally mention a Ra'a? Does that make sense? Ela Shmamina, the Ra'a and the Da'a is the same bird. Okay, fine. So you take off one out of 26. So now we're still level 25. Rav said 24. Akat esim v'chamisha have. Omer Abaya, well, keshem shira ava da'a achati between Vayikra and Devarim, kach ayavid ayav, which both appear in Devarim, but both of them are one me, achati. Because Isaac adaitach tarti inun, you're going to end up with a problem. Because michte mishetor lo sufidiyata. So why is it that the word minah that appears in Vayikra on the Ayah, appears in Dvarim on the Dayah? How did we leave off? Even you tell me we're adding. Fine, we're adding. But I mean, why did we subtract the Minah from the Ayah? The only, and it's an awfully big coincidence now, isn't it? The Ayah, Dayah, the Minah. So clearly, Shema Minah, Ayah, V'dayah, Achati. So if the Ayah, V'dayah is Achati, what is the point? Lamalei L'michtave, why would we list it? If it's actually the same mean, oh, that is Kiretanya. Rebbe Omer Ekra Ani Aya Daya Lama Nema Kidei Shalot Iten Pitchot Pele Baal Din LaChalok Shalot Atakorei Aya VuKorei Daya VuAtakorei Daya VuKorei Aya LeKach Katav Mishneh Torah VaRa'a VeTaya VeDaya LeMina Meitve Lama Nishnu Biveima at all. That's Ubnei Hashesuah. And Bilfot, why? We play Hara'ah. Now, it sounds like, my love me to be Imadatam lo sufe, Ofot nami lo sufe. Lo. Hatam lo sufe, achala pirushe. Upligid Rabbi Abo. Rav, who says 24, argues in Rabbi Abo, who only holds 23. And I'll prove it to you. Because let's assume that Rabbi Abo holds 24 also, okay? And see if you can make this work. Rabbi Abo said that the Ra'a is an Ayah. Lamanik Rishma Ra'a, because of his vision. Shiro Abi Yoter Vachin Omer, Nativ Lo Yedo Ayat, Ayat Veloshe Zafato in Ayah. Now, the Brita says it's so acute that it could be flying in Bavel and seeing a veil in Eretz Yisrael. Now, if a Ra'ah is an Ayah, so then, I mean, if there's 24, I assume that a Da'ah is not the Ra'ah, because the Ra'ah is the Ayah. But I thought Mishnah Torah is coming to the surface. How come we have a Da'ah in Vayikra and not a Da'ah in Dvarim? Okay, so we're forced to conclude that the Da'ah is also one of the same things as a Ra'ah and Ayah. It's all the same thing. But now if a Ra'ah is an Ayah, so then clearly the Da'ah is not the Ayah if he needs 24. But then we run into the other problem of Abaye. Because Maishnahatam Dikhtiv Lemineo Ayah, Umaishnahatalok Tiv Lemineo Ayah La Da'ah. So the only conclusion is that the Da'ah, the Ra'ah, the Da'ah, and the Ayah are all one, in which case there's only 23 birds. Tanya Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Me'a Ofot Tmeim Yesh B'Mizrach, which are all Minayahin. Tanya Avimi Breder Rabbi Avo, we know of that there are 700 Minidagim Tmeim, Shemona Me'ot Minichagavim, and Ofot, oh man, it's endless. What do you mean it's endless? I thought the whole point is that there's only 24 Ofot Tmeim. Ofot Tahorim Ein Mispar. Tanya Rebbe Omer Galui V'Yadua Lefzei Misha Amar V'Haya Olam She'Behimah Tmeyam Meruba Min HaTorot Lefichach Manah Katu B'Torah. On the other hand, Galui V'Yadua Lefzei Misha Amar V'Haya Olam She'Ofot Tahorim Am Merubim Min HaTmeyim Lefichach Manah Katu B'Tmeyim. No, okay, so my Kamashma K'Ravuna Merav, or some says Ravuna Merav quoting Rabbi Meir La'olam Yishanay Adam L'Talmidav Derech Kitzara. Om Rabbi Yitzchak, Of Tahor can be eaten with a Mesoret. Ne'eman HaTzayad Lomar, Of Zeh Tahor Masarli Rabbi. Om Rabbi Yochanan, but it's only if he's a Baki Be'enu B'Shmotayhen, Boy Rabbi Zerah, when he said Rabbi, did he mean Rabbo Chacham, the Rosh Hashiva, or did he mean Rabbo Tzayad? Tashma, if Rabbi Yochanan said V'sha Baki Be'enu B'Shmotayhen, say, Iyamit Bishlama, that it's a reference to his scientific Rebbe. Okay, and that makes sense. But you're going to tell me, Rabbo Chacham, what does this Rosh Hashiva know about the kosher birds? Bishlama Shamayu, he may have a list of names, but he certainly is not going to be Baki by him. Also with Shmotayam, Inu Miyadalu, I love Shmamina Rabbo Tzayad, Shmamina.
That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
Okay, today's daf, Daf Samach Gimel, and we're going to contrast today the two parshas in the Torah that discuss the various eifes tumeim, because there seems to be a lot of contradictions to them. So please first turn to Shmini, Vayikra, Yeralek, and then get your other. I'm doing this now because that way we get time for Barnea to make it back, because we could really wait till a little later for this. And then please turn to Re'ei. You can hold them both open. So the Shemini is Yud Aleph Yud Gimel, and the Re'ei is Dvarim Yud Dalid Yud Aleph. I have this open for Barnea. Okay. Okay, now while you hold that open, we'll start the daf until Barnea gets here. Yeah? Yeah, well, we want to take a look at the two parsha of the Ofos. We're going to contrast now to Ahmi. But first, let's finish up where we were going through yesterday, some of the various interesting different types of birds. And today there's going to be some more of them. So first, let's go through the individual birds before we get to the overall circuit. We're on the second line of Samba Gimel Amud Aleph. Omer of Yehuda. Shakitna, there are two types of Shakitna. There's Shakitna, which is Arichi Shofi.
the long-legged shakitna that is also pinkish is mutter. A way to remember that, this is a flamingo or a flamingo kind of bird. The simen is meruzma. Meruzma was also the same type, had a long, was also a flamingo type of bird. Long-legged and a reddish-pinkish body. And that was a well-known bird. So they said, in order to remember the shakitna, remember the murazma, and that way you'll be able to realize that you've got two birds of that type that are kosher. And the gutzi sumchi, whereas the one that has the short-legged, which is pink, is osir. And the simit for that is that ananas is puzzled for Abayda, one of the psalm of the Kohanim. So you can remember if he's got, if he's a dwarf bird, so if you see a flamingo with short legs, then that's the wrong bird to eat. Arich shaki, even if it's a long-legged shakit, but it's a greenish color, it's also asr. Simon for that, as we had before, by a bird that falls into a hot area, is that nichmrumea yurukim to it. That if it turns green, it's possible. Rav Yehuda, the shalach. The shalach refers to a seagull, which is sholed dagim min hayam. The duchipat. Now we're starting here the already to discuss birds that the Torah does mention. Oh, how nice. What a pretty, pretty bird. Ah, yeah, what do they call these in English? These kingfishers? I think they're kingfishers. But yeah, I've seen these at they come over once a year. I see them in the Ganat Koma.
What do you serve?
And they've got a beautiful, what do they call these things in English? So anyway, this has I don't know why they say this is the Duchi Pat, but Rashi says the Duchi Pat. Again, all of these identifications are very problematic. Do they claim that that's for sure? It's a suggestion. What does it say in the notes? No. I wouldn't. That's true. But I'm done. Why is it called the duchi pot? Because you'll notice it means a duchi pot. It wears a double kippa. and that's because hodo kafut. Its comb is doubled over, and it looks like it's connected to the head on the other end. So it's got like a double kippa. That's how Rashi learned. Tanya nami achi, duchi pot shahodo kafut. Now this duchi pat actually we find turning up in the Targum by the Tarnagola Bara, and therefore it's the same Tarnagola Bara that was used to bring the Shamir to the Beit HaMikdash with the whole story about Shlomo had to capture it and so on, fool it into letting go of the Shamir, and that is translated the Tarnagola Bara here. That's part of the Gemara, the sugya that we had. Lagabi, the story with Shlomo and Gideon. Ah, now we can really begin. But look around and see what he's got. Nice pictures, nice identifications, while I continue. Rabbi Yochanan, ki havi chazi shalach, when Rabbi Yochanan would see a shalach, I assume it's a type of seagull, amar mishpatecha tohom rabba, ki chazi nimala amar tzitchatcha kehar reyel. So the tzedek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even a little nimala has, kihara yelet, has the kichius of all that is necessary for it, the same way that the largest things have. Whereas the shalach has to go down into the deeps in order to get its ma'achal, sustenance. And now there's a different pshat in Rashi, which has a lot of implications, in which he brings that the meaning of it, according to his Rebbe, is that the shalach, because it dives into the sea and grabs a fish out of the sea, apparently at random, is actually the mishpatei Hashem, which fish is roi to be eaten by the shalach. Which is fascinating because what it's nogeya is a very important machlokes. Mm-hmm. Namely, if you're telling me that it's a concept of Mishpatech Atom Rabbah, then you seem to be implying that there's an element of divine providence that's associated with individual fish. Which, of course, many Rishonim speak out the Feirish, that all items in the world are essentially random unless you enter into a non-random area in which the Adam is shayach, the non-randomness, but everything else is not considered to be Mishpatecha. The Balatanya, that the Rambam speaks about this very strongly in the Mor Nebuchim and so on, but the Balatanya, because of the Rashi's Rebbe's pshat, has a tremendous piece about how it is that everything in the world, including what happens to an individual fish, I suppose if some fish was not nice to his friend and gobbled up on the good and good at an insect, then the other one should have had it, so then the shalach comes and eats him up.
Was that the story of the Netherlands with the beast from Israel?
What's that?
The story of the Netherlands or something with the beast from Israel? I saw this in the paper. The bees, someone robbed the beekeeper's house.
Uh-huh.
And he had all these bees outside. And the robbers were coming out, and the bees from Israel came out of their hive and attacked the robbers. They had to stay in the house until the beekeeper came home. They were stuck in the house. Remember that story?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, obviously, even if you would want to say like the like Rashi's Rebbe, you'll have to learn the Mishpatech at the home Rabbah. It's not a reference to the response to the individual fish. I think that's clear enough. You know what the Balatanya is coming up with. Because even if it's a getter of mishpat, it's in terms of an understanding of the nature of the min, of the species. It's nothing to do with what he was going to say. An individual fish wasn't nice to his friend, so we'll come along and shalach to eat him up and punish him. It's shayach tzar v'onish and din on an individual fish. And the point is that this, in the Gemara, we're talking about the names of species. So he's saying, when he would see that species, he would say, Mishpatech Adam Rabban, this is the hanahoga of a gilui in the world of such a thing. It's certainly, even according to Rashi's pshat, I don't see any grounds for how you could take such a thing to mean what the Balatanya says it means. All right. Omra Meimar. Lakni ubatni are mutter, but shaknai and batnai, and notice it's the same thing, lakni, don't get that mixed up with shakni. You know, and batni is not the same as batnai. And there it depends on the meg. Mokom shenogu lechol ochlin. Mokom shenogu lechol ein ochlin. And here we get... Mokom shenogu shelo lechol ein ochlin. In a place where there's a minhag not to eat it, you shouldn't eat it. And here's where we get into the whole issue that I said we're going to discuss today about this minhag, what minhag would have to do with it. And indeed, the Gemara says, what in the world does a minhag have to do with anything? If it's kosher, it's kosher. If it's not kosher, it's not kosher. Says the Gemara, indeed, minhag has a lot to do with it. Below kasha. And don't let that surprise you, because the minhag is determined not arbitrarily, but rather by important considerations. Ha ba'atu de shchichi peres vozniya, ha ba'atu de lo shchichi peres vozniya. Remember that we had yesterday that the only one of the ofot in which we would find only one out of the four simoni tahira, and yet it would be not kosher, is either a peres or a type of peres or an ozniya or a type of ozniya. And therefore, in places, so we saw yesterday that there were those who weren't makbid, and if there was a oath that was baba simen echa, they would eat it, because it said, ma'ika, mishum peres vozniyah, peres vozniyah, like a b'yishuv, we said yesterday. So normally, you don't find it in the areas that the Gemara was, at the time of the Gemara, where people were living. So when the Gemara says that there's a minhag not to eat certain birds, it's in a place where peres vozniyah is shchiyah. And therefore, now here you get into a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, and therefore, it says Rashi, that since these are in a place where peres vozniyah occur, we are afraid that these birds are a type of peres vozniyah, and we don't eat them. to which Tosfos says that's ridiculous. I mean, either they are or they aren't. But to try to say in a place where this peres vazniyah, there they might be a type of peres vazniyah, and here they're not. I mean, well, what is that supposed to mean? Therefore, Tosfos says in a makom where this peres vazniyah were chayshesh, that people will come to confuse, if we're matter than this bird, they'll come to confuse other birds above a simenachah, which are types of peres vazniyah. And remember, there it became the minute to be makpid on these kind of birds. Whereas in places where there's no bird that you could confuse it with, that you would end up eating, they didn't have a minhag to be makpid on these. But how in the world would it change it? You see, according to Rashi, that the chashash is actually for a convergent evolution kind of thing, in which this type of bird looks very, very similar. We give it the same name. It has very subtle taxonomic differences. And because of that, in that place, it may indeed be a type of peres vazniyah. And there's a very, very fascinating tshuva from Reb Meisha about pheasants, in which he brings from Reb Naftali Karbach, from his father, who was a Rav in Germany, and there was a report from his father-in-law, who wrote a tshuva, shalat for tshuvas for him, that Rav Hildesheimer, the Pesach, and was not far, an adjacent town to where Karlbach was, that there they ate pheasant, and that he had a Messiah that pheasant was kosher. So he asked Rav Karlbach, and Karlbach said he never ever saw it, even though it was his father-in-law. And Rav Meisha points out, and now Rav Meisha argues in the Chazanish, and he says, he brings from the Gro, and he brings from all of the Gedalei HaPeskim that you can be semech on a minhag of one place, even though you're in a different place, as long as there's no minhag to do the opposite. Which, there's a whole story of the Rush, which he doesn't want to say who he's referring to, but he says that we have in France and other places of Ashkenaz a minhag not to eat, referring to a certain bird. And even though they have, he won't say who they is, even though they have a minute to eat it, but as we know, the Chachmei Ashkenaz have a Mesera that is much more reliable, and they're much more medactic and more medactic, and I'm not going to, our minute is not to eat it, and therefore you can't be Semach on their minute to eat it, because it's not reliable, connected to Mesera, the opposite. Now that we paskin. If you have a Mesera not to, you can't be Semach someone else's Mesera yes to. And that's similar to this Gemara. Hashem, if you don't have a Masera at all, then you should be able to be Semech on it. But, as Rav Meisher points out, the different types of pheasants, there are dozens and dozens of subspecies of pheasants that are significantly different in terms of things that would be Nogea, Simonim, and so on. You cannot rely, therefore, on somebody who comes along, this the place can bring already from way before, someone comes along and he says, well, we eat this bird. So the type of person that says, we eat this bird, if he'd be me, you couldn't rely on him. Because you need to be a bucky in the anatomy of birds. Otherwise, you think that that's the bird that they eat, because it looks like the bird that they eat, but that's because you're not sensitive enough to know the taxonomical distinctions, which if you were a trapper, you were a zoologist, then you would know. Oh, that bird, yes, it looks very similar to. And that can easily happen, and therefore the only person who could be semichot, as we'll see later on today in the sugya, is someone who is bucky in the birds themselves and is able to distinguish, and we'll see how Rashi explains it, one from the other. Well, that was the Zabu issue, which the Chazanish tainas that what if we have such a thing by Eifes, if there becomes a minhag as it did by Behemoth, we should be mocked the same way that we're mocked by Eifes, and he holds that by Eifes you're not saying on the minhag of one place to another. But that's the Chazanish. Go. So anyway, how about the Lushni of Perezosnia, an important machlokis. Omar Abaye, the Kui and the Kukui are Asira, but the Kukuata is Sharia. And actually in Eretz Yisrael, they hold that it's Vada, I also give you Malkas if you eat it, and the Korale Tachvata. That they call the Tachvat. Now, all of these, it's fascinating, all of these identifications, I mean, Rashi and Tosfos even argue in the Gemara here about what they are. So, I mean, and Tosfos brings Raya's, the famous Tosfos, is that what we call an eagle is definitely not an Asher. And indeed, all the authorities said Nesher is not really eagles. And he proves it by the fact that the Nesher is used here as the one to contrast to the Torah. Now that's where we come up with the idea, since it says Nesher as trade and Torah as kosher, then the thing that distinguishes Nesherim from Turim become the simonim of kashrus in an oath, right? Well, it so happens that the eagle has an Etz Vayisera. So how could it possibly be the Nesher? Therefore, the Nesher has got to be some other kind of bird that also flies very high, and so that's okay. There's all different types of, different approach to what it is. But Tosfos actually brings the word eagle. He says it ain't no eagle. It says an eagle, it's not an eagle. All right, so we'll see as we go on here some more of these. Tanur Abonim, the Tinshamet. Now, Tinshamet is interesting because it appears also in the list of Shratzim. Now, how could something be both a Sheretz and a bird? And you know the answer to that. There's some Shratzim that look like they've sprouted wings, right? The real ugly ones. Exactly. So says the Gemara. The Tinshamet is the Ba'at. Is the bat, which means the ugly one, bavot, as a lashon of disgusting. So that becomes the bat in English, which is the bavot shabavot. Now there's clearly another bird that gets involved. This, as we'll see, Tosfos discusses, and the tinshamet that is listed in the shratzim is the same thing, but it's a sheretz without wings, doesn't fly. So, Atomer Ba'ochabaofot, I mean, you say that it's that. I mean, how do you know it isn't the same Tinshamet that's referred to in the Shratzim? Oh, Eno Ella Ba'ochabishratzim. Amrit, Seilamadmi, Yudgimomidocha, Torah Nidreshapehem, Dovar Halamadmi, and Yano. One of the Yudgimomidos is that the context of a thing defines what it is. So, what's the context? B'mahakat v'medaber. The context is ofot, in which case the tinshamet listed in the ofot is obviously a type of oaf. It's not a sheret. We have exactly the same price occurring by shrotzim kahagavna. Tanami ofgabi shrotzim, tinshamet is the ba'ot shebishrotzim. And there we say too, atomer ba'ot shebishrotzim, who said, maybe it's the ba'ot shebo'ofot. One of which is davar halamadmi inyano. Again, what's the context? B'makatuv medaber. It's talking about shratzim. Afkan b'shratzim. So therefore, the tinshamet of the sheretz is the tinshamet of the oaf only in the fact that both of them are ugly and share that similarity of general ugliness, but they're certainly not the same thing.
I'm going to call an animal.
What to call it bound? Oh, people have an idea. You can learn to like them, but people have a general response of revulsion. People are terrified about that. That's the way that their noses are stuck up and the way that. Because you've learned to see them as beautiful.
Because
we saw already, we've had for the past few days, that the Torah's identification of things follows specifically primitive identification. And the primitive response to these things is terror. And the same thing with snakes. There's a primitive built-in response. It's not a social response. That's why you find all types of animals have the same terror response when they see a snake. So these are things that have been learned through evolutionary history. They're not, you can learn to like snakes and overcome your thing and so on. That a human does that. And then he could become very fond of snakes and so on. But the primitive response that your brain is programmed for among mammals is to run from a snake and to feel an immediate fear sense. So, which is amazing how deep the relationship to Nachashim, that's how Nachashim in Gan Eden becomes the mythos of evil and so on, is expressed in what we see as snakes. And so on. There's a beautiful, and now that's the Dragons of Eden. of what's his name, Sagan. Yeah. That it goes through those the evolutionary history of our reaction to lizards and so on. It traces back to the evolutionary period of mammal versus lizard, which is of course all stuck in Gan Eden, is mammal versus lizard, in which the Nachash is attempting to take control of the world, and then that's the whole change in geologic time becomes the destruction of the dinosaurs and the growth of mammals. Not necessarily. But who knows if it's an evil?
Because we know Rome's nature.
I'm saying it doesn't. Yeah, that's not a very nice thing. Somebody else pointing out. And there must be an element called Nesher. That's because, I mean, that became the symbol. I mean, talking about in the Navi, the Nesher as Rome, or as Esau. And that is an eagle. So that's a very good point. Maybe it's a broad identification. That's probably how it came to be, that people call it. Maybe it's a very broad identification. It's a generally birds, but the specific identification of the nates, the unique nates we're talking about is the... Remember, again, we talked yesterday, you weren't here for some reason, but we talked yesterday about the way in which species become more and more well-defined as time goes on. We have to determine what the Torah is referring to when it mentions a species. And it goes according to the Zman of Kabbalah Satera and so on. So it could be that there was... I don't know. This is Tosus' time on. I'm just taking it on Tosus' word. Do you have a picture, by the way, of these birds?
It's Yonah's on time to go in his death.
Oh, really?
It's Smuz on the Kasher of the High.
Oh, so it doesn't deal with the...
with the Tanaeus.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
That's an amazing range of... Yonas,
one is all Yonas. Oh my God.
One is all pigeons, one is all
Yonas. Oh my God. That's unbelievable. Your mamash have to be a zoologist. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, the Ka'at is the kook. Now, the Girsa Niorach is the kik. But Tosfos Tanya is the kook. If it's the kuku, can't possibly be the tomei bird, because the kuku, we're marzik, he says, is a tomei. We talked about the kuku before as a type of orev, or let me know, that he viewed as a type of orev. And the kore is definitely a tahar bird, whereas Rashi says that the kore is the kuku. So therefore, this lechora, and it's not clear that when it says kuk, whether it's referring to the kuk, the kik, or the kuku. Obviously, already we know from the Gemara there's three different things. And the rocham is actually the shrakrak. And Omer, I think somebody put out a rock group. Shrakrak. Omer Rav Yochanan, Lama Nikra Shmo Racham. Why is it called the Racham, the Shrakrak? Because Kiman Shabo Racham, Bo Rachamim Liola. The Racham is a simon of Rachamim. Now, normally, Rachamim, in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends rain, refuah, whatever is the Rachamim. But there's also the ultimate Rachamim, which is the Geula. And Rav Bibi Bar Abaye says that if it's Yosef Amidi, we all be Shrakrak. It's not that you just see a Racham. It has to sit on a telephone wire and say Shrakrak. And then if it does that, then you know that there's going to be Rachamim. The Gemir, we have a Kabbalah that if it sits on the ground, because usually it never sits on the ground, it sits on a telephone pole. But if it sits on the ground and it goes shrakrak, then clearly that means that Mashiach is coming. So also Mashiach, Hashemah Asherik Alahim Vakapse, because God says, I will whistle to them and gather them together. So the shrakrak is called shrakrak Alsem whistling.
Is this shriek like shriek?
I'm sure that it comes from the same shore. It's an amatopoeic kind of word. Omele Ravada Bar Shimi.
I have
a long list here of things. So Ravada Bar Shimi, Taina Tamar Bar Avidi, that I know of a case where there was a shrakra that was standing in the middle of a field on the ground. He was the Yossi Bekar, but Vishorak, and he was going shrakrak, and at that minute he got hit by a meteorite. Vasa Galal Afskelamoka hit him right in the head and smashed. That was the end of shrakrak. So much for your messianic birds. Omar Lay, he said, Ahubadahavi, that was a lying track rock, so it got hit by a meteorite. But a nice track rock will tell you the truth. If the track rock rocks, then Mashiach is coming. There's a beautiful analysis by Reb Tzadok and others of that ilk about the sounds that various animals make, especially the ophos, because it's called sichas ha-ophos, and he points out that there's various combinations of letters that are used by birds, and the orev is always mikarker. Kabbalistically, the orev is from the klipa called amolek, which is kar. So kar is indeed amolek. The reversal of kar, which we have yakar kufresh. The reversal of amolek is carry to yakar through yerek, and the shrakrak is the reversal of kar to those elements that exclude it, which is rak. And therefore, it's considered to be the opposite of the orev in terms of the geula. That's some cute insights into letters.
The sounds an animal makes change in every country. And then the way we hear them.
Loshen HaKodesh hears them right. Omele Ahu. Turn around on him. Orev? Orev. I got news for you. An orev? Ze orev. Now that's an orev. I was going to ask what that's supposed to mean. Is this an audio visual shear or what? To say an orev, that's an orev. What's an orev? Et kol. Now, when it says et kol orev, that is to include the orev ha'amaki. We'll see what that means. When it says orev lemino, that refers to the orev that is to be found b'roshe yoni. Strange. Sounds like an orev that is at the front of the of groups of yonim that are flying. So we're going to go through the bias. Amamar. Orev ze orev. What's that supposed to mean? Otu kaman koi, what, there's an orev in front of us that you're pointing to? I mean, if you're going to point to it, it's in Kuda CV. Elaima orev ze orev uchma. What it means is, orev refers to the black orev, the black bird we always talk about as an orev. V'chein hu omer kvutzotav taltalim shechorot ka'orev. That means if you want to talk about black, the simon of a black bird is the orev. Ha'amaki is actually light-colored, and that's why we call it ha'amaki. It's the chivra orev. V'chein hu omer umareu amok min ha'or. So we call something which is bright amok. Amaki does not mean, therefore, the orev of the valley. It means the orev which is light-colored. And that's kimar echamaha mukaminatzel, something which is bright, lit, intensely lit. And again, something which is dark looks as if it's deeper. The orev habab roshe yonim, says Rav Papa, lotema da'ati b'resh yoni. Don't understand that to mean that it flies and in front of a flock of birds of yoni, eladadomi reshe lidyoni. It means that it has a head that is similar to the yona's head. You understand the implications of these things, I'm sure, in terms of the Noach and Chulin relationship and the questions of the interrelationship of Klal Yisrael, which is similar to yona, to the umes, which are orvim, and the relationship of arav to orev, and to getting mixed up between one thing and the other, and a bird that's mixed up between itself and a yona, and so on. So you could see the implications of these. Turn around on it.
That's what they're coins from Harry Ararat earlier.
I think Bernay is back from a tour. Turn around on it.
I learned in Toronto. There was coins from Harry Ararat.
Okay. Turn around on it. Hanates. Zahanates. Now, innate refers to innate, and the Gemara will not ask where's the innate that you're referring to, because over here it's not contrasted with the other one. It was there, it's contrasted to the Chivri, the Amaki. Over here it's not. And therefore what it's coming to say is the bird known as the Nates is the Nates indeed. Now, Rashi says it's a sparrow, or a sparrow, I assume it's a sparrow. Tosafot says it can't possibly be that, because we know that the sparrow is a Doris. And in the Nates is one of the Yutes Ofot, and therefore it can't be Doris. This is Tosafot Shitoso, which we avoided studiously yesterday because of the problems of Eino Doris in the Yutes Ofos. But Tosafot Shitoso holds that when it says all kosher birds cannot be Doris, that it means that if you have any of the simonim, what we're saying, it can be Baba Simon Echad, so then it has to be that it's Eino Doris, which runs into tremendous problems in the sugya. So here we have another example of a machlokas about an identification. Leminehu, lahaviet bar achiraya. What's a bar achiraya? Amar Rabbeinu, that's a shurinka. Says Rabbi Yehuda, the chasida is actually the daya levana. The reason we call it the chasida is she'osa chasidut im chavroteha. It acts, and so it's got a lot of altruism in it, in its behavior. And fascinatingly, it's tummy. Why is it tummy if it's supposed to stand for the evolution of altruism? So why would it be a tummy bird? There's a lot of discussion on this. So my father Zatzal used to say that the reason it's a tummy bird is because it's Osech Hasidut im Chavroteha. It's only its friends, and that's how it evolves, in fact, is altruism, because it's more likely, its own genes are more likely to survive within that group. So it doesn't, and actually, if you analyze mathematically, they did some beautiful, beautiful studies about the evolution of altruism, in which if you count the number of times that a particular organism, individual organism, will visit into the kinim of others, and you assume because of that the elements of relationship, you check the genes, and wherever there's more sharing, you have a direct proportion of the more visits with food to the more genetic similarity. So what's happening is that one organism is willing to give up on its individual life in order to protect its genes, which are scattered now among these other cousins and so on and so forth. The greater the genetic similarity, or the sharing in the family, so to speak, the more it's programmed to be mative. The Gemara will actually talk about that, lahalacha, birds of a feather flock together later on. That's the Zarzer and the Orev, the famous Weimar, lo lechinam halach Zarzer etzel Orev. That's mamash, what the Gemara says. It's not a joke. But here, so that my father, that's all he's saying. That's why it's a chasida, and it's tmeya. But it's interesting that the Balei Kabbalah point out that the very fact that it's an evolutionary chasida means that it's tmeya. Because the difference is between a nida and a dea. A dea of chasidus is tohar, but an evolved chasidus is tameh, because it itself is based on competition. It's not based on anything real. It's only a nida. It's well, obviously, otherwise how did it form? So is it a hat? Which is similar, basically, to what my father said also, but it's the same idea. So if somebody is koveya himself, this is the path that I'm taking as a deya. So the Rambam never uses the word mida, always uses the word deya, because it's a choice of how it is that you relate to the world. Machine came in an animal, it's simply programmed. If it's programmed, it has nothing to do with chesed, and therefore it's not part of a gilui of tov in the world. It's unbelievable. This absolutely refers to the Don. Ha anafa. The anafa is the daya ragzanit, and that's actually why it's called the anafa. It's because it's ma'anefet, it should say. It's because it's always angry. Very, very aggressive bird in Chavrutea.
Maybe it is. That's what they say. It's a heritage. It
makes such good sense. The solitary blue, mamish. But it just doesn't get along with other birds, even of its own type. So it's called the anafa. That's really
not aggressive.
No, but if it's angry with its friends, it doesn't have to be it's aggressive. Angry with its friends means that it doesn't get along with people, so to speak, of its own type. Right? And that's amazing because it's called the daya. It's enough for it to be on its own. It's dialogue. It doesn't have a social life, which is what it's called, the solitary. That's interesting. Omer Avchana Bar Avchista, Omer Avchista, Omer Avchana Bar Rav, Omer Rav. Esrim Varba Ofot Me'im. Now you've got to take out your commotion, please. And I'd like to contrast the two parshas, Shmini and Re'i. Now let's look carefully at the contradictions between the two parshas. So in Shemini we have like this: V'es Eila Tishaketzum Min Ha'Of Lo Ye'achlu Sheketzem Nesher One Peres Pasuk Yud Gimel in Vayikra Yud Aleph Nesher Peres Vozniya. Now that occurs also. Please keep it open at the same time to Re'e. That occurs also in Pasuk Yud Beis in Re'e. Nesher Peres Vozniya in that order. The problems start creeping up immediately in the next pasuk. The next pasuk in Shmini is ve'et hada'a, ve'et ha'aya limina. Whereas in Re'e it says, instead of da'a, it says ve'hara'a, very similar, except the dalet has become a resh. Ve'et ha'aya, but notice it doesn't say ha'aya limina. Instead it adds a new bird called a daya, and it says hada'ya limina. Very strange. Okay. Then it's the same for the next pasuk. Kol orev limino. In both places. Orev limino. Ve'et batayana. That's the same. Tachmas is the same. Shochaf is the same. Hanet liminehu is the same. And then we have kos is the same. Shaloch and yanshuf v'tim shamet. We have out of order, but the same words. Kos yanshuf v'tim shamet. In Re'e, Ve'haka'a, we have the Tichamit in the next pasuk, we have the Tichamit in the first pasuk, Ka'a, Rechama, and Shalach. And here we have the same idea, Ka'as, Racham, and Shalach. Then we have Achasida, Anafa, Limina, which is the same, and Aduchi, Patva, Atalef. So again, the differences that bother us are that the Da'a became a Ra'a, the Ayah lost its Limina, and instead, a daya was inserted for its mina. That's what we've got to worry about. So now, if we count the birds, Rav is quoted here as saying, Esrim v'arba ofot me'imim, and Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista asks Rav Chista, I don't get that. That's not true. I counted the birds in Shmini. There's only 20. If you want to count the birds in Edvarim, in Re'e, so you come out with 21. Because you added over there the daya, which didn't appear at all in Shmini. But that's the maximum. I see how you can get to 21. How do you get more than that? V'chi tema da'a b'chtiva b'vayikra v'lo chtiva b'mishna Torah shadya alayim. If you want to tell me that maybe we should even add the extra, in other words, take the ra'a and the daya, now add it, take the da'a, add it to the daya, and you'll end up with another one, so that gives you 22. I mean, but where do you get 24? Omar Lay, so he told him, you should know that your grandpa actually said, your mother's father, Och Yom Rav Huad Di'imach, is Rav Chista's father-in-law, was Rav Chana Bar Rava. So Och Yom Rav Huad Di'imach, Mishvei the Rav, that the limina, limino, and liminehu gives you an extra 4. So what are we referring to? In both parshas, we have the whole rev limino. So we don't have an extra, it's 1 extra. In both parshas, we have the limina of the Anafa, so that's another one, but it's only one, it's not two. Then we have Ha'ayalamina and Adayalamina. So I don't know, maybe that's another two, but we're going to end up seeing what it's not. But that's certainly another one. And it's Ha'anets Lamina, it was also another one in both parshas. Gives you another four. Another four? So then you got 26? So then I reckon on Arbaya, okay, that's Rimashit Abbey. Omar Abaya said Abaya, well, no, you don't, because the Ra'ah and the Da'ah are the same thing. So when it says Da'ah in Shmini, which turns into a Ra'ah in Mishnah Torah, that's not a different species that we should add the Ra'ah to the Da'ah and the Da'ah to the Ra'ah and get 22. No. It's both the same bird. I'll prove it to you, Richie. If you're going to tell me that they're two different birds, look, the rule is that Mishnah Torah is l'usufi. We see that by the behemoths in the list of behemoths in Re'e, it adds the one case that we don't have in Shmini, which is Hashesu'a. Therefore, it's coming to add meaning and to tell me what's Tommy. So, why would it leave out one if it's coming Lusufi? Ella, it must be because actually it's the same thing. That the mean Ra'ah and the Da'ah is Akasi. Some people call it a Ra'ah, some people call it a Da'ah, but that's just local variants of dialect. But it's the same bird. Okay, fine, so you took out one. It's still 26. You brought it down to 25. How do you get 24? Omer Abaye, kishem shira'a v'da'a achas, kach aya v'daya achas. I'll prove to you that the extra bird, the daya, that occurs in Shmini, is no different than the aya, that occurs in Re'e, is no different than the aya that occurs both in Re'e. Richie! Both in Re'e and in Shmini. We don't even need exercise. It takes so much out of me. We don't need to exercise.
Great idea.
Okay, that's a great idea. So let's start at 6. Start at 6. We'll break until 8:15 after we do the first 10 minutes. Everyone will take a nap, and then we'll all be well rested. Okay. All right. And I'll prove that to you, too. Because my shnach adechtiv lemina da'aya, and my shnach adechtiv lemina adaya. Explain to me how it is that the aya lost its lemina in Shmini. In Re'e. So in Shmini it's aya lemina, and in Re'e it's daya lemina. And the poor aya ends up without a lemina. Can you explain that? Obviously, it's got to be that the ayah and the dayah is one. That does just ask. That's not fair. It's not fair. When you came to say the da'ah, you proved that the da'ah must be the ra'ah because the da'ah is missing and therefore the ra'ah must be a da'ah. But over here, it's not missing. So how come it kept the ayah and the dayah? Make up your mind. If you're telling me that if it's coming to tell me all alternative pronunciations, that it changes it from one to the other, how do you explain the fact that it kept it? So Tosis explains beautifully. Tosis explains. Because normally, of course, the rule is that it's lusufi. So if it would be adding a different dialect, it should have said the ra'ah and the da'ah. The problem is, if it would have said the ra'ah and the da'ah, you would have concluded that the Ra and Da'ah is two different birds. And that it's adding another bird. But you can't come to that conclusion with the Ya and the Daya because there's a switch in the Lamina. But since there is no Lamina on the Ra'avada and the Da'ah, the Torah had no choice but to leave it out. Over here, where it can include it, since it can indicate to you it's the same bird, by switching the Lamina from one to the other. So it keeps it the same. It's very, very nice.
Okay, now it's exactly what we're adding other species or just...
No, we're adding other pronunciations. Yeah, we'll see why. We'll see in a moment. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, if it's one word, why do you need to mention both of them? So why mention both? Ah, Kitanya Rebbe Omer, Ekra ni ayah, dayalam and emra. Because that's the point, since the identification of the birds is very much a function not only of what it is, but what it's named. This is how people identify it. So kedei shelo titein pitchon pe lebal din lachlo. Shelo tehei ata korei, hey, that's an ayah. That's not an ayah, that's a dayah. So who korei dayah? Or you say, oh, that's a dayah, you can't eat it. It's not, that's called an ayah. But kach katav mishnah Torah v'haraha v'etayah v'adayah lemina. Meise. Lama nishnu b'beima b'pnei ha-shesu'ah. The reason that the parsha is repeated, legabi behemoth in ra'e, is to add the shesu'ah. And by ofot, why is it repeated? Mipnei hara'ah. Now, my love, isn't it reasonable to say that in the same way when it was talking about the behemoth, it was talking about adding another species, it wasn't adding a pronunciation. So, mita behemoth, da'ata ma'asufi, ofot nami lo'asufi. No, not necessarily. Maybe when it comes to Shesu'ah, it's indeed an addition. And over here, it's an explanation. Now, this whole analysis that we just made that of Rav Chisda about the Dayah being one species, the Ayah and Dayah being another species, it doesn't work according to Rabbi Abu. That's clear. Because Rabbi Abu tainted that the Ra'ah is not the Da'ah, it's the Ayah. The Ra'ah zo Ayah. The only reason that the Ra'ah is called the Ra'ah is because its scientific name is the Ayah, but they call it the Ra'ah because it's eagle-eyed. So it's Ro'eh Biyoter. It has fantastic vision, and we know nowadays about the vision of some birds that they're absolutely astonishing. I mean, they can pick up the kind of things that satellites pick up, you know, and they're off from there. It's amazing. V'chein hu omer netiv lo yido'o ayat. So if it's a path that even the eye of an ayah can't pick up, so then it's really a tough path to find. Tana says in a brisa, omedet bibavel, you can have this bird flying over Bavel, v'ro'ed nevela b'eretz Yisrael, and it's a carrion eater, so it can pick up a dead animal in its eyesight all the way from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Now, midra'ah. So now, since according to Rabbi Abu, the ra'ah is an ayah, so the da'ah, apparently what you're trying to tell me is that the da'ah, therefore, is not the ra'ah. Now we got problems. Because if mishnitar is coming last to the fiyudiyasa, so maishnah ha'akad achtiv da'ah, u'maishnah ha'atam delochtiv da'ah. What happened to the da'ah in mishnitarah? We answered it by saying it's the same bird. Well, what happened to it according to Rabbi Abu? Ah! It must be that when he said the Ra'ah is a Da'ah, he didn't mean it's not a Da'ah, it's also a Da'ah. Uh-huh. So, Mamela, Mamina, Ra'ah, the Da'ah, the Ra'ah, and the Ayah is Achati. This is the one day that the sleeping people get to claim that they're part of the ideas. You wake them up. And he asked him, huh, Richie? He said, duh.
Who's on first?
Now, if you're telling that the Ra'ah is actually the Ayah, so apparently now you're saying that Dayah is not the Ayah? So, Beklav the Ayah, Dayah love Aino Ayah. So then why did Lumina get switched? Maishna Hatam, Dechtiv Lumina of the Ayah. And Maishnacha, the Lofti Lamina Ayah. How did the Ayah lose its Lamina? Unless it's the way we answered it, that it became a Dayah. Therefore, according to Rabbi Abu, we have no choice but to conclude that the Da'ah, the Ra'ah, and the Dayah, and the Ayah, according to Rabbi Abu, are all one bird. Afasi. So therefore, you can't have our whole mimer of the analysis of 24 kosher foods.
So there aren't 24?
According to him, we'd have to say that it's again. Remember that according to Tosis, 24 birds are only headers; they're not actually the names of species. They just teach us the in other words, according to Rashi, any bird that we will find that is similar to an Asher is an Asher, which and not having any of those simanim. So he says it's not another bird; it's a Asher. It's a subspecies of Asher. So we spoke about that, Machlokes. Tanya.
Designers say, why is it really hard? Why is it Tommy? Actually, Simonima Kosha, somebody lives in Kuzar and sees it there, and there's Israel.
Beautiful. That is so beautiful. Oh, that's novella. That's mamish beautiful. I've heard that they said it. Somebody Choshev said it about the Satin. I think I'd even heard it as a Klosenberg stuff, the Satin, years and years ago. Tanya Isi Ben Yuda Omer Mea Ofot Tmeim Yesh Bemizrach Kulan Min Aya. There's 100 species of birds in the east that are all types of ayaz. Tanya Avimi Berev Rabbi Abu Shva Meot Mine Dagim Hein. There's 700 different species of dagim tmeim. Those is an afkamina la halacha would be that if you're familiar with all the dagim tmeim. This is for...
I'm listening.
Yeah, but this is for our friend.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Buddha.
Okay. So if you know all 700 species of dogim tmeim and their subspecies, then you don't have to find simonim on the fish in order for you to eat it. Because it's not these, it's okay. Because we'll see that there are simonim that some fish can lose in time. And therefore they look like non-kosher fish, but they're kosher because they had simonim.
Swordfish?
No, we'll talk about that. And that was the whole shaila about swordfish. And therefore it would be nogea to know the tamei fish. And there's shmona meot minei chagavim. And ofotein mispar, it's an endless number of... And we thought it meant tummy birds. Ask the Gemara Ofot. Ofot, I thought we just said there's only 24 species of Ofot to Behim. No, talk about the Ofot, it means Ofot to Harime Mispar. The number of kosher species is endless. Tanya Rebbe Omer, Golui Viadulaf, Mishamar Vahaya Olam Shebe Matmea Meruba Min HaTehora. The fifth of Manakatu, the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that there are more Tomei species of behemos in our kosher, but therefore it listed the names of the Torah species. Golui v'yadol zev shema mishama v'yaolam sh'ofot taurim murubim ala tmeim. On the other hand, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows there's more species of ofos taurim than of tmeim. Lefichach mana hakatur b'tmeim, therefore listed all of the tomei birds. Nu, so what do you, so big deal? So my kamashmas, what does that prove? No, it proves Kirgun Amarav. Or some say it was Runa Amarav Mishum Rabbi Meir. But lo alam, Yishan Adam Latamito, Derech Tzara, always use the shortest way of communicating. So therefore, if we see that the Torah uses this approach, the Tamei, the list of Ofos to name, whereas when it comes to the others, it tells us the list of Tairim. So clearly, it's doing that for a reason.
Today we are discussing the amount of kosher birds available to us is so minute.
Yes. That's right. It's a shame. But one day.
Yeah.
Om Rabbi Yitzchak, Ov Tahor Nechal B'Misoret. You can eat an Ov Tahor if somebody can testify that he has a tradition that it's kosher. And Ne'eman HaTzayad Lomar, a trapper, is believed to say, Ov Zeh Tahor Masar Li Rabbi. My Rebbe taught me that this oaf that I trap is kosher. Amar Rebbe Yochanan, v'hu shebaki behem u'bishmotehem. This is only if he is a baki in the actual bird itself. In other words, the Rebbe that told him is a baki in the bird, and he's familiar with other birds that are similar to it, and he knows, he's able to distinguish the name of the species as opposed to others. Says Rabbi Zer, when he says his Rebbe, is that his Rebbe in the Beis HaMedrash? Or is that his Rebbe, the trapper? he apprenticed by somebody. Says that Rabbo Chacham or Rabbo Tzayad? It's clear that it means his Rebbe, the trapper. Because Rabbi Yochanan says he has to be a zoologist, basically. He has to be a bookie, not only in the names of the birds, he has to be a bookie in their particular anatomy. So, Yamit Bishlem Rabot Sayyad Shapir. If you're going to tell me that it means a Sayyad, fine. Then it makes sense that he would know. And the Yamit Rabo Chacham. I mean, what does he know? Bishlem Shemayu Gamilu. Fine. He knows the names. They showed it to him, the whole thing. But what does that mean? Ela'inu miyadehu. Does he know? And here's where Rashi points out so beautifully what it means. Inu miyadehu does not mean, did he see the bird? Of course he saw the bird. What's going to say? This bird's kosher. He saw the bird. But does he know it well enough to distinguish it from other birds that look the same? That's the question. So for that, he's got to be a zoologist, or at least a trapper, to know what kind of birds look like this bird and still be able to distinguish between one and the other. And therefore, Elalach Shmamina Rabot Sayat Shmamina. There's no way to give that information over. What are you going to do? You'll bring it to the Chochma here, and you'll say, here, see this bird? Look at it closely. It's called X. Next time somebody brings you this bird, you will know that it's X and it's kosher. No! You won't know that it's X and it's kosher. Only a zoologist will know that it's X and it's kosher. So Bishlema, if he's a Tzayad, he can tell you this is X and it's kosher. But stomach, I cannot. Okie dokie. Shmamina, it's Rabot Sayat. It's got to be a trapper, not a chacham. Not necessarily, because we already saw, again, it depends how you learn the turkey story yesterday. That for generations they thought the turkey is kosher. I mean, what they called the turkey in their days. No. Here in the Gemara, with the Tarnagolta, the difference on Tarnagolta, they thought it was a kosher bird, and then somebody saw that it's Dores. The question is, how did that happen? Was it a mistake in Misora? Was it just an assumption, like happened with the turkey, that if it looks like a tarnagol, it's probably a tarnagol, and so on and so forth? Right? We've talked about the same situation we had with the Zabu. People make assumptions, but those assumptions then become enough to create, unless the otherwise, it becomes now, you're going to say that, well, we have a minute that we eat this bird. It's got all the rights and money. Why shouldn't we eat this bird? Okay, but if somebody, Lamaisa, come. So again, even though we have a minhag not to eat birds that we don't have a Masorah, even if they have all simanim. But we certainly can't say we have that minhag on this bird because everybody's eating it. I said, but they made a mistake in eating in the first place. So what? If, on the other hand, there's a tzad to say it's a mistake, and that's what happened to the turkey. What happened to the turkey is somebody said, I saw pink dirts. So those families that come from that person that saw Bing Doris, it doesn't have four simon. And according to Tosos, grease itself is an active simon of tuma.
There's another error.
Why do we do this? So we don't have the Masorah that eats the race.
I'm sorry?
So we do not have the Masorah that eats the race.
Turkey.
Nobody could have a Masorah to eat a turkey because it came only after the discovery of the new world. How could they have a Minnesota?
Can you say that again?
Turkeys are from the New World.
The Indians.
Right, the
Indians.
Aha, I understand.
So why do we need it? Because
that's a good question. It's good. And cheap.
Easy to raise.
And there's a lot of farmers that raise them.
If you don't just be in Israel, you stop the day.
That's right.
Regarding the Sabbath, you do car shop.
No, so I'm explaining that. This idea is essentially became the minhag Yisrael, not to eat things that we don't have in the Seirah. But you can't use that minhag to be either a minhag in which it turned out that this is the way it became, that's all. It's the same way that people now have minhagim to do things that once upon a time were awesome. Not because they really were awesome, because it was the minhag that this is not the way our grandparents dressed. You know, so now we dress that way because it is the way our grandparents dressed. But those grandparents were dressing that way with a schutzim of the time. That's the way it goes.
I heard regarding at least two parshas in the staff. I feel that at the time of year, interesting enough, there, just around the time of year, these parshas were read, meaning at the exact time of the year.
When Chassidah passes by.
Yeah, it comes in and out.
Amazing, I saw it once.
It's been one pole, electric pole where the Chassidot came every year, the same Chassidot came for about 20 years. Every year is made a nest on that pole. And they brought even the offspring, second and third generation, all came to that pole. They flew tens of thousands of miles.
Yeah.
Now they uprooted the pole, so the Chassidot stopped.
Where's the pole? Yeah,
10,000 miles for a pole.
We can all
let's go back home.
Did you see that? On the same place of the nest. Just like on the top, tunnels that come in the show up. Nobody knows how they found the pole. And even the second generation, the offspring came.
That's a very shy for our discussion about the minhag. Now they have to create a new minhag.
Okay, great. We never got the check replaced.
I think something I saw on the internet. He must have sent some.
But this is without that check. You mean in literature?
Yeah, there's the evil part, and there's the descendants of the crow. And like
that must be the crow with the young.
Even the
crow on Barosh Young.
The crow has the young, but the crow can do any good. And you have like the missing out the crow. Like, you're always looking at crows and respecting the crow.
It must be that it has that. That's it's interesting, it's the same word. It's like,
Well, they cut it off.
That's why they call it.
45 and over. Helicopters around, lots of cops.
But you do see that the
inspiration.
You can't go up by there.
You can't go up there.
You can't go up there.
45 and older can go.
Only 45.
Right, you can't go. We can go, you can't go.
Yeah, usually it's the young Turks.